people straggling in the back, but they're coming in now. And I want to make sure they hear these announcements. Okay, we'll get started. The announcements are, and it's in inserted, a lot of it, what I'm going to read off to you inside of your bulletin here under the single sheet, starting out with the missions this month that we've been offering up our prayers and money to is called the Sheepfold. And we've been doing that for a month. And I want to thank all of you who have been supporting our mission program because, as you know, we pick out what we feel are worthy missions in and around this area. And we've been very responsive with providing thousands of dollars to some of these missions, which is great. That's what he wants us to do. Anyway, Sheepfold is located here in Orange. They provide shelter, hope, refuge for the homeless and abused women and their children who are in need of a new beginning. Very important. Also, we have on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. a class called Sit and Be Fit. And our secretary, Ashley, runs that. And it's every Tuesday morning, sitting down and doing exercises. That sometimes helps people get motivated if they have other people around them. So you're all welcome. I happen to be coming in for the Bible study, which is the next one underneath at 11:15. And they were coming out, and I saw some of the women, and they looked pretty fit. So you might want to check on that. It might be a big help to us. I'm thinking about joining that class. But anyway, now there's the Bible study. And it was a women's Bible study. But it got so interesting that what Pastor Ken's talking about now in the Bible is the Gospel of Mark. Now we've got almost outnumbered the women. Because we find it very interesting study, and we're learning a lot, as we often do, under the direction of our Pastor Ken. We also have the men's Bible study on Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock. We're not letting women in that one, though, because sometimes language is, well, we get forgiven right away, so it's okay. All right. Also, if you have any praise reports, contact the office and let them know. You know, if we've been praying for someone and things are going in the right direction, we'd like to hear about it because we'd continue to pray for those people. All right. Pastor Ken is going to be back with us next week from his vacation. So we're praying for a safe return and hoping he had a good time in Utah visiting his son and granddaughter. He's going to also be at the Grace Lutheran Church on August the 6th, and on Wednesday he's helping out and preaching there at their midweek service. So I want you to know, maybe you want to take that in and look at that. Another thing that's very, very exciting, I hope you can get more people coming to this. We had maybe 30 people. It's a piano concert. Now the piano concert is the second one of the year put on by Nick Galianitis. And we don't have a flyer on it yet because it's November 15th. That's the 3 o'clock. It's a piano concert. Last time, which was just a few months ago that they did it, he had a violin also accompanying him on the piano. And it's a musical type of event. But, I mean, this guy could have been a Juilliard's type of student. He's such a profound, wonderful pianist. But please invite your friends to come to that, and there's no cost. And it's at 3 o'clock on a Saturday, November 15th. I think you'll really be pleased that you came. That is the news that I need to get through today, and thank you for being here.
Yep. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Let's go ahead and start with our opening hymn, Come Thou Almighty King, number 522 in our hymnal. Good morning again and welcome. If you're wondering where my beautiful wife is, she's roughing it on the lake shore of Lake Sebago in Maine, visiting her family. So I am solo today. Let's go ahead and begin with the invocation. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may be perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins to God, our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As your called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Let your merciful ears be attentive to the prayers of your servant, and by your word and spirit teach us how to pray that our petitions may be pleasing before you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We now continue with the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated.
Good morning. The first reading is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 18, verses 17 through 33, and this can be found on page 25 in the Pew Bible. This is a part of Genesis. This is a story of Abraham and God. This reading is titled, Abraham Pleads for the City of Sodom. Genesis 18, verses 17 through 33. Then the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on the earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him." Then the Lord said, "The outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great and their sins so grievous that I will go down and see if what they have done is as bad as the outcry that has reached me. If not, I will know." The men turned away and went toward Sodom, but Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, "Will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? What if there are 50 righteous people in the city? Will you really sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous people in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? The Lord said, if I find 50 righteous people in the city of Sodom, I'll spare the whole place for their sake. Then Abraham spoke up again. Now that I've been so bold as to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes, what if the number of righteous is 5 less than 50? Will you destroy the whole city for the lack of 5 people? If I find 45 there, he said, I will not destroy it. Once again he spoke to him. What if only 40 are found there? He said, for the sake of 40, I will not do it. Then he said, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak. What if only 30 can be found there? He answered, I will not do it if I find 30 there. Abraham said, now that I've been so bold as to speak to the Lord, what if only 20 can be found there? He said, for the sake of 20, I will not destroy it. Then he said, may the Lord not be angry, but let me speak just once more. What if only 10 can be found there? He answered, for the sake of the 10, I will not destroy it. When the Lord had finished speaking with Abraham, he left, and Abraham returned home. We'll read Psalm 138 responsibly. It's printed on page 6 in the bulletin. The psalm from David gives thanksgiving for answered prayers. Psalm 138. I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple, and I will praise your name for your unfailing love and your faithfulness. For you have so exalted your solemn decree that it surpasses your fame. When I called, you answered me. You greatly emboldened me. May all the kings of the earth praise you, Lord, when they hear what you have decreed. May they speak the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is exalted, he looks kindly on the lowly. Though lofty, he sees them from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. The Lord will vindicate me. Your love, Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands. The next reading is taken from the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verses 6 through 19, and this can be found on page 1833 in the Pew Bible. Paul's letter from a jail in Rome to the church of Colossae states that our salvation is through faith in Christ, not by our own self-efforts. Colossians 2, verses 6 through 19. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as a Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophies, which depends on human traditions and the elemental spiritual force of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He's the head over every power and authority. In him, you are also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, which you also raised him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumph over them by the cross. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to the religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God continues to grow. Here ends the reading. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.' And he said to them, 'Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him"? And he will answer from within, "Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is a friend, yet because of his imprudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Lord. Now pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Our sermon this morning comes from our gospel lesson in Luke chapter 11. I don't know if any of you remember, but back, I'm kind of dating myself here, and if you remember it, you're dating yourself as well. A commercial put out by E.F. Hutton. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the commercial, E.F. Hutton, he's a financial planner. And the commercial takes place in this large banquet room. And there's clanging of plates and silverware and glasses. And It's so loud, you've been there before at a wedding reception where you can't even hear what the person's saying like two seats away from you because it's so loud, everyone's talking and having a merry time. And this is going on, and meanwhile there's this couple sitting at this table, and one of them, they're talking finances, and one of them says, well, E.F. Hutton says, and the whole banquet room goes quiet. You could hear a pin drop in the whole place. And the point is that everybody wants to hear what E.F. Hutton has to say because he's such a guru as far as financial planning goes. Well, even more so, when Jesus tells us how we ought to pray, we should listen to Jesus. And in the Lord's Prayer, we know that the opening verses are our vertical relationship with God, and the latter half of the prayer is our relationship, our horizontal relationship with one another and our dealings with our fellow man before the Lord. And Jesus begins with, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Now I know for some, you grew up without a father. For some, maybe had an abusive father or an absentee father. But when we address our Father who art in heaven, it's supposed to be something of a comfort by which this Father is perfect in all that he does, in all that he says, in all that he will do. By the way, he said, "Let there be light." Poof, there was light. "Let there be land." Poof, there was land. And the Heavenly Father, besides creation, has come up with a plan of salvation, a plan of salvation for you and I, where his Son, Jesus, voluntarily said, "I will enact that plan by going to the cross and dying for you." And the Holy Spirit saying that I will make sure that that plan comes into existence, that that plan will come to its fruition. Hallowed be thy name. God's name is to be honored and revered before all other names. Let me read the first and second commandment, which echoes this. "You shall have no other gods before me, and you shall not worship any graven images." And we know elsewhere that it says, "At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done, as it is in heaven. Here we petition that God and his plan of salvation, that he would complete the good work that he begun. This doesn't mean that people are not going to get cancer or we're going to lose a loved one or we're not going to suffer financial difficulties. This doesn't mean that we're not going to suffer persecution from other people. It just means that God, through His Son, becoming a ransom for us, and by His Holy Spirit, the Holy Comforter that Jesus sent to dwell in you, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. He's going to make sure that you get across the finish line. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Here we ask God and thank God and petition God that He's given us the breath of air that we breathe right this moment, that He's given us shelter, that He's given us food to eat. And if we ask for a fish, He's not going to give us a snake. If we ask for an egg, He will not give us a scorpion. We confess our sins before God for His mercy and for His grace. And that same mercy and grace that has been shown to us, we are asked to show to our neighbors, to show them the forgiveness and the mercy and the grace that we've been shown. Know this: God doesn't need our works, but our neighbor does. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now let's get this straight. God does not tempt anybody. We are tempted by the world, our own flesh, and the great deceiver, Satan himself. We pray to God that when we are tempted and suffering and affliction comes our way, that we wouldn't be tantalized by it or succumb to it. James wrote, "Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds." And John recorded these of Jesus' words, "My prayer is that you do not take them out of the world, but that you protect them from evil." We pray that God, through these temptations, that He would sustain us, He would deliver us, so that one day we'll see His kingdom come, where this world that has been fallen in sin will be perfectly set straight, that His perfect will would be done. And similarly, in the same way that the Lord teaches us to pray, Abraham has some of these same elements. Last week, the Lord had announced that Abraham and Sarah were going to have a child a year from now. And of course, Sarah laughed because she was beyond childbearing years. But we know that whatever God says comes true. We know that through this child, the seed, the Christ, the Messiah would come. We know through Christ's seed that he is going to establish his righteousness and justice and his plan of salvation. In this morning's readings, the Lord now turns to the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to judge them. And as Christ intercedes by going to the cross on behalf of sinners and taking your sins upon himself, he intercedes and he declares you righteous. He forgives you all of your sins. Abraham is a type and shadow of the Messiah that was to come. Abraham intercedes for the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He intercedes saying, "Thy will, thy kingdom come, thy will be done." And yes, judgment will come upon the wicked and those who are in unbelief. But at the same time, God is gracious and merciful, not to condemn you, not to condemn those who believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, who paid his life for a ransom for many. Abraham came near to God and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous and the wicked are treated alike. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth deal justly?" Abraham, knowing that he is dust and ashes before the Lord, knowing that the Lord's name is hallowed before all other names, Abraham, knowing that there's no other gods, he petitions God to be gracious and merciful towards sinners. Abraham says, "What if you find 50 in Sodom and Gomorrah? Will you spare Sodom and Gomorrah?" The Lord responded, "I will." "What about 45? The Lord responded, "I will." "What about 30? The Lord responded, "Yeah, even 30. Okay, how about 20? "Yeah, even 20. "Well, what about 10? "Yes, even 10. Now, of course, this is just speculative, but I wonder if Abraham stopped at 10 because of his nephew Lot. Lot, his wife, his family, and his servants must have been at least 10 people. It's speculative. It's not in our text, but something I thought about. What about 10? "Yeah, you find 10, I'll spare the cities." "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Paul exhorts this to the Colossians. He says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. In the ancient world, the Greeks and the Romans, truth was discovered through reason alone. And it's no different today. We try and gain truth and knowledge through science, through our own reason. People look to science to tell whether the Bible is true or not. Science tells us that miracles and people being raised from the dead cannot be possible. It's not reasonably and scientifically provable. These things are to be rejected by us. Christianity is the only religion that is based on a historical account where a real man and a real God went to Calvary's cross and died and rose again on the third day. It's the only religion that is based on a historical account, a true historical account. Paul said in Corinthians, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, our faith is vain. And if Christ has not been raised from the dead, then we are still dead in our trespasses and sins. But Christ did raise from the dead. Christ still lives and reigns. Thy kingdom come is not a future event where Jesus comes back for you, his church, but it's a present reality. Right here in front of us, in your baptismal font, Paul echoed these words to us this morning in Colossians. He said that you have been buried with Christ in the waters of your baptism. Our sins have been done away with to be remembered no more. And you have been raised out of the waters of your baptism in the likeness of Christ's resurrection, becoming a new man. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. He made you alive together with him, having forgiven all of our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of death, consisting in decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to a cross. His kingdom has come to you. It came to you right here where he did not circumcise your flesh, but he circumcised your heart. Right here, his kingdom came, where he made you a new creation. His kingdom has come to you this morning, here, in the form of bread and wine. He's come to you to take that bread and place it on your lips. He's come today, his kingdom is here today, to take the wine that you may drink it while we await the great banquet that awaits us when Jesus returns. Yes, the kingdom is here already. John the Baptist announced it in his ministry, and Jesus echoed the same words, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." At hand means it's right underneath your nose. Yes, his kingdom is here. It already has begun. But until he physically comes back, he's given us his sacraments to remind you that, yes, some people did listen to E.F. Hutton and what he had to say, but Christ and his word is true when he says that you are forgiven. His words can be counted on, and thy kingdom come is not only a present reality, but it's a future reality for you and I. In the name of Jesus, amen. We now continue with our sermon hymn, "What Wondrous Love Is This?" number 385 in our hymnal.
Thank you.
Let us now recite the Apostles' Creed. Please stand. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, our Almighty God and Father, we gather today to praise your holy name, to give thanks for all the blessings you've granted us, and to enjoy the comfort and friendship of our church family, all members of the body of Christ. We give thanks for all those individuals, wherever and whomever they may be, volunteers or paid professionals, who have heard your call to serve others and to place the welfare of others above themselves, just as your Son Jesus did for all of us. We ask that you protect them from harm and prevent feelings of discouragement when the fruits of their service are not immediately known. Let us also be the instruments of encouragement in your name for those who sacrifice for us. We pray for children everywhere, and especially those among our congregation, as they bring great joy to us as we watch them play, grow, and learn. Guide us to teach young people the wisdom of your ways and to avoid influences of evil that seek to subvert their lives. We pray for the safety of those traveling, including our pastor Ken Whitney and his family. Please refresh their souls, remove any anxiety, and bring them great joy with family and friends. We thank you, Lord, for providing Pastor Chris Gallagher this morning to deliver your gospel and for ears to hear your message. We pray for the sick and those suffering, the oppressed, the lonely and distraught. Help us to be instruments of your grace towards those in need. We pray for those seeking jobs or worried about the future of their employment. We know that you have plans, perfect plans, for all of us, but our sin leads us to doubt, especially when your timing does not match our expectations. Please strengthen our faith where doubt creeps in. The following petitions are attributed to St. Francis and are printed on page 48 of your hymnal. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. We praise and thank you, Holy Spirit, for always being with and within us to keep us focused on our Savior Jesus and for reminding us that we are never alone and that we have great value in our Creator's eyes. Thank you most especially, Father, for the gift of your Son, our eternal Savior, Jesus Christ. Finally, we now share with you our personal prayers kept deep in our hearts or spoken aloud. Into your hands, Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
We now share the peace of the Lord with one another. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts. With them, we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made for the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join in the unending hymn.
Blessed be God,
On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, after he had given thanks, he took bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you." In the same manner, after he had given thanks, he took wine and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take and drink. This is the blood of the new covenant. As often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Hopefully you've been refreshed in the Lord's Prayer. Let's go ahead and recite that together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The banquet feast awaits. May our table servants come forward, please. Now receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. Let's close with "Onward, Christian Soldiers," number 509 in our hymnal. Serve the Lord and go in peace.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.